FM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Your place for this area's news, talk, and sports. We are locally grown radio 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
This is CBS News on the Hour, sponsored by Navaj.
I'm Linda Kenyon in Washington. Russian President Putin is delivering his State of the Nation and defending the war in Ukraine.
We decided to conduct a special military operation, and step by step, we carefully, consistently will settle the task we are facing.
Speaking through an interpreter, Putin blamed the West for the escalation of the conflict. After his secret trip to Ukraine yesterday, President Biden will speak about the year-long war today in the capital of Poland. CBS's Stephen Portnoy reports from Warsaw.
The president speaks today at the Royal Palace here in Warsaw to underscore his commitment to the Ukrainians in their fight.
Biden needs to make the case why this war matters.
Dan Fried served under Bill Clinton as ambassador to Poland.
Putin is challenging us in the same way that Hitler did.
A recent AP poll shows Americans are now split on sending direct financial assistance to Ukraine. Support for sending weapons has also softened, down to 48% in favor from 60% last May. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Warsaw.
The Supreme Court will hear arguments today in the case that seeks to hold tech companies like Google legally liable for the content their algorithms recommend. CBS News legal analyst Thane Rosenbaum explains.
Google's position is that they are not just some internet bulletin board where third parties post their homemade videos. People come to YouTube to use the search function, which relies on algorithms to give viewers choices of what else they can watch. Google maintains that it's a recommendation and not an endorsement.
The case was brought by the family of an American exchange student who was killed in the 2015 ISIS terror attacks in Paris. They say that YouTube should be held responsible for the ISIS videos on its platform. An arrest in the weekend killing of a Catholic auxiliary bishop in Los Angeles. Sheriff Robert Luna says Carlos Medina is the husband of the victim's housekeeper.
Medina is the husband of Bishop O'Connell's housekeeper, who has previously done work at the bishop's residence.
Another massive coast-to-coast winter storm will impact tens of millions of people this week. This woman in Minneapolis is getting ready.
I'm getting gas because I know it's going to be a rough week with the storm coming up. So I'm trying to fill up my tank.
Crews in Oakland, Ohio, trying to douse a large fire touched off by an explosion at a metal manufacturing plant. This man saw the whole thing.
A boom, and then you know what? A bigger boom. And then I looked over, and it was just boom. And then flame shot, I just covered.
This is CBS News.
Now there's a simple, easy, and effective way to clean your nose and protect your health. It's called Navaj. Navaj. Available at Navaj.com.
I'm Martin Hoke, the inventor of Navaj Nasal Care, and I love Navaj. I've told you about how your nose is the body's air filter, that Navaj's powered suction will help flush out allergens, viruses, mucus, and germs, and that Navaj will help you breathe better. But what do other people say about Navaj? Like Tara, quote, "My doctor wanted me to do saline rinses for my allergies, but I've never been able to successfully use a neti pot. Navaj uses suction power, so it's foolproof. There are nights when I'll have particularly bothersome allergies. I'll bust it out, and the results are immediate. It's such a relief. It's become a lifesaver." Unquote. She's one of over 100,000 online reviews praising Navaj, the all-natural solution trusted by over 3 million people to help you breathe better, sleep deeper, snore less, and stay healthier without drugs. Navaj is available at Walmart, CVS, Walgreens, Target, Rite Aid, and online. Navaj, N-A-V-A-G-E, clean nose, healthy life.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope, to give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon and continues until 6 p.m. Thursday night. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. 26 today, under overcast skies, west winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, 21, cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 16.
You're tuned into your home for the Wisconsin Badgers on 97.5 FM and 1320 AM WFHR, locally grown radio.
Is the Tom Hartman Program.
And welcome back to the third hour of our program. On the line with us, Naomi Oreskes, the professor of history of science at Harvard University, a co-author with Eric Conway of The Big Myth, a new book, How American Business Taught Us to Loathe Government and Love the Free Market, a brilliant piece of work. Naomi Oreskes, O-R-E-S-K-E-S on Twitter. And of course, the book is available wherever you find books. Their previous book is Merchants of Doubt, by the way, which we've talked about on this program. Naomi, welcome to the program. Tell us about how corporate America first, at what point in time did corporate America first start this laissez-faire, neoliberal, Friedman and Hayek type of sales pitch? Did it precede the meetings in Switzerland and the 1936 meeting in France?
Yes, our book covers more than 100 years of history. What we show in the book is that the construction of the myth of the magic of the marketplace actually begins in the early 20th century. And the book you were just talking about a minute ago is a good lead into ours. In the late 19th century, American capitalism was rapacious. The free market had actually led to the destruction of competition and the rise of giant monopolies and trusts. And it had also led to massive exploitation of workers, including child labor. And so reformers in the late 19th and early 20th century, what's often referred to as the progressive era, reformers that included both progressive Republicans and Democrats, worked to try to make American capitalism more civilized, to protect competition through the Sherman and Clayton Antitrust Acts, and to protect workers through the development of workmen's compensation and laws against child labor.
These are like Republicans, Teddy Roosevelt, William Howard
right.
Taft.
Yes, exactly. Many of these reformers were progressive Republicans. Teddy Roosevelt's an important person in the story. Gifford Pinchot, the governor of Pennsylvania and the first director of the Forest Service. And in response to these attempts at reform, American business tried to fight back. And they tried to fight back by starting the beginnings of what would become a 100-year-long propaganda campaign to deny the appropriate role of government in the marketplace, to deny the appropriate role of government in protecting workers and in protecting competition, and to tell a myth, to construct a myth that markets were wise, that markets were efficient, and we should just trust the marketplace to make appropriate decisions on our behalf.
I find it an extraordinary leap of illogic, I suppose, that marketplaces cannot exist outside of, simple barter without a government. You have to have government to define the currency and the value of the currency. You have to have government to define the rules of what is a legitimate versus a fraudulent transaction. You have to have government to provide a mechanism for redress when someone is the victim of fraud. It's like suggesting that we could play, the National Football League could play football without rules. or that if the rule was just that whichever team gave the most money to the NFL got to have an extra player on the field and could ignore, you know, any three random rules they wanted or something like that. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense.
Exactly.
So, how could they sell this?
Well, so the core of the myth is the construction of the notion of the free market, the idea that there could even be such a thing as a free market that exists apart from society. So as you say, markets have been around since time immemorial. We know there were markets in ancient Greece and Rome and ancient Assyria. As far as we can tell, there have been markets as long as there has been human civilization, and they have always had rules and regulations because markets don't exist apart from the societies that they're part of. They're human mechanisms. And like any human activity, whether it's football or driving a car, we have rules about how these activities should take place. You can even find rules about markets in the Old Testament. But the myth, the construction of the myth, begins with the idea that there even could be such a thing as the free market, which exists unto itself, which has wisdom, and which is anthropomorphized even into a sort of godlike character, so that when we talk about the invisible hand of the marketplace, the implication is that the market is almost godlike, and so we should trust in the marketplace in a kind of quasi-religious fashion. And that's why we refer to this ideology as market fundamentalism, because it has this quasi-religious, faith-based component.
And that phrase, the invisible hand of the marketplace, comes from Adam Smith's Wealth of Nations. It only occurs once in that book. It occurs in the context of what arguably is an argument for protective trade policy, essentially. And it completely, the way it's been misused and misinterpreted, I know you write about this in your book, The Big Myth. We're talking with Naomi Oreskes. It completely contradicts not only much of Wealth of Nations, but almost all of A Theory of Moral Sentiments, which really was Adam Smith, you know, that was the work he was most proud of and probably most well known for, at least at the time of the American Revolution. Where did this begin? I mean, was it Reagan was pushing this stuff, and you read about this, you know, with the General Electric Theater and traveling around the country. General Motors was reprinting a cartoon version of Hayek's book and sending them out to people. Did this really get rolling in a big way in the United States in the 1950s? Was that the era?
No, it's actually much earlier. So the story begins in the early 20th century with arguments over child labor and workmen's compensation. Right. Many people today don't really realize how violent, how deadly, how dangerous American capitalism was. Millions of American workers were killed or injured on the job every year, and they received no recompense. So workmen's compensation was a reform put in place to make workplaces safer, because it was found that when factory owners had to pay premiums into a workman's compensation system, it gave them an incentive to make the workplace safer. So this was a positive reform that worked. It made workplaces safer and more efficient. But a lot of business leaders opposed it because they saw it as an infringement on their rights, their prerogatives, their freedoms. And so they begin this campaign to construct a story about capitalism and freedom, to claim that any compromise of economic freedom, any compromise of the rights of businessmen, factory owners to run their businesses as they saw fit, would put us on a kind of slippery slope to Soviet-style totalitarianism. Now, how can they make this story work when it's so obviously self-interested and when the facts don't support it? Well, because the facts don't support it, because the evidence doesn't support it, they have to try to shore it up. And one of the ways they do that is by recruiting academics. And so they recruit two of the founders of neoliberalism, the Austrian economist Ludwig von Mises and Friedrich von Hayek, and they bring them to America and they begin to promote their work in the 1930s and 40s. And in the 1930s, von Mises serves as a consultant to one of the leading trade organizations in the United States, the National Association of Manufacturers, who are a key player in this story, and by the way, are still a key player today in denying climate change and blocking climate action. So they recruit them, they bring them to America, and they begin to promote a kind of bolderized version of their views. So if you actually read von Hayek's most famous book, The Road to Serfdom, published in 1944, You may or may not agree with it, but it's a pretty sophisticated book. It's pretty thoughtful. And one of the things that von Hayek says is, well, there are places where it is appropriate for the government to be engaged in the marketplace. For example, preventing deforestation, preventing the harmful effects of pollution, or possibly even some form of social insurance to help workers. Remember, this is coming out of the Great Depression, to help workers in cases of extreme need. So Hayek is ideological. The work is a piece of ideology, but he's not a nut. But in the hands of his American acolytes, he becomes a kind of nut. They produce a Reader's Digest version of his work that takes out all the caveats about how you actually do need laws against pollution and deforestation, and you actually do need social insurance. And they turn him into this very flat and very one-sided, one-dimensional advocate of, you know, free markets, uber alles, and government is evil, government is bad. And that's the piece of the story that then they propagandize.
Right, and then Reagan and friends carry it forward. How do we push back on this? What's the most effective counter narrative or counter story, or have you encountered one?
Well, I think that mold grows in dark places, and all of my work has really been about shedding light on important social, political, and scientific issues. So one of the things we learned when we wrote Merchants of Doubt, which is a book about climate change denial, is that when you explain to people that climate change denial isn't about the science, that it's a political claim and it's not supported by the evidence, and that it's actually a kind of a con trying to persuade people that somehow the interest of ExxonMobil is the interest of us. When you expose that, a lot of people say, oh, wow, I didn't know that. And nobody wants to be on the losing end of a con. Nobody wants to be a sucker. And so I think we have a somewhat similar story here. This is a story of a 100-year-long propaganda campaign to persuade the American people to trust big business to have our backs when the history shows that they don't. And so I think that when people begin to understand that this is propaganda, it makes them see it in a different light. And it's interesting because most of us, when we hear the word propaganda, we think government propaganda, but what we haven't really realized is there's also big business propaganda. And this is a story about business propaganda that has been highly impactful, highly influential, and has really stood in the way of a lot of important reforms that we need today to fight problems like the climate crisis, the opioid crisis, income inequality, the lack of affordable housing, and so many other issues that really affect the lives of the American people.
Yeah, it truly is. The book is The Big Myth, the subtitle How American Business Taught Us to Loathe Government and Love the Free Market by Naomi Oreskes and Eric M. Conway. Available wherever fine books are available. Merchants of Doubt, the preceding book. Naomi, thank you so much for dropping by and sharing this conversation and these insights with us. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It's a pleasure. Pleasure having you on. We'll be right back at 17 minutes past the hour here on the Tom Hartman Program. We've got a crazy alert about Fox News right after this.
This is the Tom Hartman Program.
Stick around. We'll be right back.
Do you have a car sitting around you want to get rid of? Then here's a great idea. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Yes, one fast call to the Veteran Car Donation Program and we'll come and remove your car for free. Fast, free towing, and 24-hour response. You can donate most cars, trucks, or SUVs in most conditions. The proceeds raised goes to help active military, veterans, and their families, and you get a tax deduction. All you need to do is make this free call. Get rid of that old car and help the vets. We make it easy. Make this free call now and book your fast and easy pickup. Call the Veteran Donation Program now. Donate your car and help veterans and their families. Operators are standing by. Here's the number.
800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. 800-880-5013. That's 800-880-5013.
Hi, Tom Hartman here. My Hidden History series includes 10 timely and paramount books that break down some of the biggest issues of today.
The first is The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment, where I look at the real history of guns in America, had to do with slave patrols, and what we can do to limit both their lethal impact and the power of the NRA. The next is The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America, where I lay out how Ronald Reagan and Richard Nixon both committed treason to become president just to put right-wingers on the Supreme Court and how the Supreme Court paid them back. The third is The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, where we look at how Hillary Clinton actually won the last election and common sense things that people can do to reclaim their rights to vote. Coming this fall is The Hidden History of Monopolies, how big business destroyed the American dream. And next spring, you'll see The Hidden History of Oligarchy, The Rise of the Hard Right. That's the Hidden History series by yours truly, Tom Hartman, available wherever fine books are sold. Hey, my new book, The Hidden History of the War on Voting, Who Stole Your Vote and How to Get It Back, is arriving in bookstores on February 10th. I cover how the heartbeat of democracy depends on the vote. This book goes in depth on the racist legacy of our vote and the unique struggles of women and Native Americans. In part two, there's a deep dive into the economic royalists' modern war on voting. And part three is the solutions, how we get out there and get active. Pre-order now at any fine bookstore. I'm also on the road with a book tour for The Hidden History of Voting. Join me on Monday, February 17th in San Francisco for the Berkeley Arts and Letters Series. On Wednesday, February 19th at Town Hall, Seattle. Sunday, February 23rd for the Blue State Ball in Minneapolis. On Friday, February 28th at Powell's in Portland. And Sunday, March 1st in Chicago. More information is available at tomhartman.com. This book is the third in the series after The Hidden History of Guns and the Second Amendment and The Hidden History of the Supreme Court and the Betrayal of America. Order your copy now, The Hidden History of the War on Voting.
In the foreword to Tom Hartman's book, The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late, renowned author Joseph Chilton Pierce writes,
"To discover brilliant, innovative, creative, and original thinking is one of life's rare privileges. To discover that such a thinker has focused on the most critical of all issues facing our species is encouraging. Because The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight is a seminal work offering a viewpoint original yet ancient, I see our situation today in a new light. And because of the scope and depth of this work, I find it inspiring as well as disturbing. I rather exhausted superlative in praise of Tom Hartman's book, The Prophet's Way, which I rightly called the most important book I've ever read. But now I find the sequel calling for equal praise, since the issue here addresses the whole of our species, and indeed all species."
The Last Hours of Ancient Sunlight, The Fate of the World and What We Can Do Before It's Too Late by Tom Hartman, in bookstores everywhere.
Change starts with you. You can be calling your Democratic or Republican representatives to let them know what you think by calling 202-224-3121. It's the Capitol switchboard. It'll get you right through to them. And welcome back. It's 22 minutes past the hour. Dennis in San Diego. Hey, Dennis, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom. First-time caller.
Thank you.
You know, you had the state rep on a little while ago.
He was the chair of the Wisconsin Democratic Party, Ben Wickler.
That's what it was. Yeah, I couldn't look back and see who it was. But anyway, he was talking about the Uline family running in politics there. And I want to point out that that family, I believe I read it in The Atlantic, they're Christian supremacists, but they're also the largest distributor of office and warehouse supplies in the country.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, the catalog you get in the mail.
Yeah.
You probably have one in your eyesight, Uline, U-L-I-N-E. Big, crazy, nutbag Trumper family and Christian supremacists.
So yeah,
it's quite interesting stuff.
Yeah, and they're billionaires, and they've got, you know, a very successful business. You're absolutely right, Dennis. Yeah.
Yeah, and everybody uses them. You order a hand truck or, you know, your water or whatever, you use that company. They're everywhere. So just thought it interesting.
Okay, Dennis, thanks. Thanks for the call, and thanks for the info, and thanks for listening to SiriusXM. David in Portland. Hey, David, what's on your mind today?
I just wanted to bring up that I think it's wrong that Biden's committing to more, tanks and weapons, while Palestine, East Palestine, Ohio, is completely engulfed. The people on the CDC are saying it's okay to go back. And he just went out there and committed more money. And meanwhile, the people were told to go back to their houses, and it's completely small.
Okay, it's another tanky. Keep trying, guys. Tony in Long Island, New York. Hey, Tony, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, the trolls just keep on coming.
Yeah,
huh?
Yeah. It's hey, brother, you give them an A for effort.
I hear you, man. Two things real quick. Okay, first thing regarding Naomi, she was extremely interesting before regarding her book. But I think she may have gleaned over one particular facet why the public is going to be very, it's going to be hard to push back, to get the public to push back on corporations. And I think that's because once corporations started going public and people are invested in 401ks and now they have a fiduciary interest in seeing these companies thrive, I think that's going to be another facet that's going to cause it to be a little bit more painful to push back against them.
How so?
I mean, well, because now people that have 401ks, now they have a fiduciary interest in, say, a petroleum company or whatnot. Right. They want to see them thrive. They want to see them grow. Otherwise, the amount of money that they make in their 401k dwindles.
That's right.
So
that's why they're supporting or tolerating anyway, you know, stock buybacks, for example, you know, because the little tiny benefit comes to them. Yeah, it's a good point. And I believe that the whole IRA thing began with, wasn't that the Reagan administration that started that as a way of, you know, carving a hole out of Social Security?
1982, you're correct.
Yeah, that was my recollection. Okay, Tony, thank you for that.
But regarding the gentleman had some information regarding, I guess, the train that was crashed, and he was kind of pushing back against you with the braking system.
Yeah.
And number one, I work with a company called Twinkle Precision, and they manufacture these electronic braking systems for the MTA in New York. Mm-hmm. Okay, so they do stop extremely quickly. That's number one. And number two, we wouldn't even have this problem had not this country bought into maglev, or basically high-speed rail, which was created 10 miles away from me at Brookhaven National Laboratory. And I actually knew one of the scientists who was part of a crew of 25 scientists that created it. He passed away 5 years ago. But once they created it, they went to every metropolitan. They went from the MTA in New York City to Chicago to Miami to San Francisco. They went to every major city, and everyone pushed back against it. And there are four reasons why nobody wanted it, and we still don't have it to this day. The petrochemical, the petrol industry pushed back against it. Mm-hmm. The aerospace industry pushed back against it. Car manufacturers pushed back against it. And the politicians getting paid off pushed back against it.
Amazing. Amazing. And, you know, China built a high-speed rail from the equivalent of Chicago to New York, almost the exact same distance in 2 years. I mean, it's like the whole country is covered with high-speed rail now, and we don't even have a single one of any consequence. Tony, thank you for that. Thank you for that information. That's great. Appreciate the call. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Tom Hartman Program. Call 202-808-9925.
So are you support? I've had a number of calls, trash talking our involvement in Ukraine. I'm curious, are you supportive of being in Ukraine?
Come on, you watch the news. Be prepared to pay more taxes. Then if you owe back taxes or haven't filed in a few years, get ready. The IRS, the largest collection agency in the world, will be coming after you with the power to collect taxes by any means they want to. Hey, they can freeze your bank account, your passport, even padlock your business. Oh, good times. Look, if the IRS claims you owe them $5,000 or more in back taxes and they're coming after you, don't panic. Call my friends at Get a Tax Lawyer first. Their job is to negotiate with the IRS and save you money. They're experts at it. That's all they do. And you can trust them. In some cases, they have reduced a $50,000 tax bill to less than $1,000.
Wisconsin's spring primary election is Tuesday, February 21st, and your local Civic Media radio station will be tracking the results.
Special live coverage starts at 7 p.m., and News Director Terry Bell, with a team of political experts, will be following which candidates, both local and in the state Supreme Court race, move on to April.
Spring primary election coverage live, Tuesday, February 21st, starting at 7, here on your local Civic Media radio station, streaming on the Civic Media app.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope, to give them hope that mom is going to be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Let's face it, life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. Especially now, no one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the Ad Council.
How was your drive to school?
Let me tell you, I had to get my iced coffee first. I just can't seem to put it down. My favorite rapper just announced a tour. My phone was buzzing like crazy. I'm so excited. I had to text all my friends right then to talk about it. Then someone started calling me and...
Let's try that again.
I turned my phone off right away. I never drive distracted.
Visit StopTextStopWrecks.org. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Data shows that after a child turns 9 in foster care, they are much less likely to be adopted. But the Dave Thomas Foundation for Adoption believes every child is adoptable.
Families, if you're able to let your hair down a little bit, there's a lot to learn from teenagers.
The clock is ticking for teens at risk of aging out of foster care. Learn how you can help at DaveThomasFoundation.org.
In honor of all those we've lost to cancer and those still fighting and thriving, like basketball analyst Dick Vitale.
I want to beat cancer. I'm going to beat it. That's no doubt in my mind. I'm going to win this battle.
Defeating cancer will take all of us. At the V Foundation, V is for victory over cancer. V is for victory over giving up.
Don't give up. Don't ever give up.
Join our team in the fight against cancer at V.org.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news talk and sports is on 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. A winter storm watch begins at 3 p.m. tomorrow afternoon and continues until 6 p.m. Thursday night. A winter weather advisory begins at 6 p.m. this evening and continues until 9 a.m. tomorrow morning. 26 today, under overcast skies, west winds 8 to 15 miles per hour. Snow likely tonight, 21 cloudy. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 16. Hi.
Oh, hey.
Text and complain that they're on their phone the whole time. Text and listen to them complain that you're on your phone the whole time. Text and whatever. But when you get behind the wheel, give your phone to a passenger. Put it in the glove box. Just don't text and drive. Visit StopTextsStopWrecks.org. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
We stand on the shoulders of women who came before us.
Women who fought for their own financial futures.
And now it's our turn.
Join us. Visit WeSaySaveIt.org and take control of your financial future by saving for retirement.
A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Share the Tom Hartman program with your friends. We're available on Sirius XM, Free Speech TV, Pacifica, commercial stations nationwide, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, on the Tom Hartman app, and you can even tell your smart speaker to listen to the Tom Hartman program. Welcome back. It's 34 minutes past the hour. Crazy alert. Fox thinks diversity is the cause of the train derailment in Ohio. Yep, sure enough. Laura Ingraham on Fox News, this via Media Matters, quote, "Now this is what happens when you prioritize diversity." She's talking about Pete Buttigieg, a gay man being in charge of the Department of Transportation. "Now this is what happens when you prioritize diversity and equity over competence and experience. America just ends up with a cabinet filled with nincompoops, radicals who point fingers instead of solving problems. And unfortunately for Ohio, the results may be deadly." Somebody needs to tell Laura that it was Donald Trump who deregulated the airline, the rail lines, and not Pete Buttigieg. And then, you know, to add to this, you've got Alex Jones now warning his millions of listeners and viewers that liberals are eating babies. And this was just, you know, Sam Harris, the famous atheist, was and philosopher, was making this point about the demonization of people and whatnot. And he said, "There are sometimes extra babies in the world and they're full of protein. Can't we eat them? This is not a conversation about eating babies. This is a conversation about how you can close the door to this idea that we both recognize as repellent and why we recognize it that way." And then he goes on to say, but there are people out there who say, hey, Sam Harris is a guy who wonders why we can't eat babies. So in other words, he wasn't arguing for eating babies at all. He was saying this is the kind of philosophical question that, you know, shouldn't even be a question. It's fairly black and white. But Alex Jones takes it out of context and goes into this, oh my God. All right, and a geeky science for you too. This is fascinating. For the first time now, genetically modified trees have been planted in a U.S. forest. Now, typically, when you're going to experiment with genetically modified organisms, you have to do both lab experiments and real-world experiments, and even those have a degree of danger. I mean, the famous one was the Klebsiella planicola, when they modified this bacteria that lives in the roots of pretty much all plants on Earth to produce alcohol, thinking that they could, to convert carbohydrates from the roots into alcohol like yeast does. In fact, they took the gene out of yeast and added it to the Klebsiella planicola bacteria. And, you know, the thought was that we could use this. I'm going to sneeze. Hang on. That we could use this to deal with agricultural waste products and things like that. Excuse me. And, it turned out that the bacteria killed the plants quite quickly. And had it gotten loose, it might have, ended all life on Earth. That would be the extreme situation, but it was not out of the realm of possibility. That was a genetically modified organism. So we've gotten a little more careful about this. Well, there's a new company out of San Francisco, a biotech company that has genetically modified poplars, which are kind of a semi-hardwood tree. They're not pines, they're not the softwoods, but they grow much faster, roughly twice as fast as normal trees. The Global Justice Ecology Project is worried about this. They say this is a growing threat to forests. And they point out that the company that is doing the genetically modified trees has not yet published a single peer-reviewed paper. All of its publicly reported results come from a greenhouse trial that lasted just a few months. And yet, the trees are out there. Steve Strauss, a geneticist at Oregon State University, said, "My experience over the years is that the greenhouse means almost nothing about the outdoor prospects of trees." He said, venture capitalists may not know that. The company has been apparently quite successful at raising money for this. But is it going to be a good thing for America or for the world? Who knows? And then finally, Marjorie Taylor Greene again. Here we go. Her tweets today. "Today on our President's Day, Joe Biden, the President of the United States, chose Ukraine over America while forcing the American people to pay for Ukraine's government and war. I cannot express how much Americans hate Joe Biden." So here we've got Marjorie Taylor Greene, literally echoing Vladimir Putin's propaganda. And apparently this works in Republican circles because what? These people will buy anything? Will believe anything? It's kind of sad because I'm seeing the same thing happen among, some people on the left who are just, suckers. I mean, they're buying into this propaganda, and it's well, we call them tankies because the same thing happened back in, what, 1956 or 1965 when the Soviet tanks rolled into Czechoslovakia, and there were some people on the left in America who were like, oh, no, don't worry about it. You know, it's just this, you know, the Soviet Union can do no wrong. After all, they're socialists, and we like socialism. They have free health care. Right. The Soviet Union was a fascist state. Let's just acknowledge that. Marjorie Taylor Greene goes on to say, Zelensky can't even wear a tie as he greets the president of the United States. He gladly takes our money in sweatshirts and T-shirts, but Biden is dressed up. So insulting. America last. He went to Ukraine, a non-NATO nation whose leader's an actor and apparently now commanding our United States military to world war. We must impeach this American last fool before it's too late. Seriously? And this is like the great new hope for the GOP, Marjorie Taylor Greene, honest to God. All righty. Picking up some of your calls. Let's see here. Bob in Cardiff, California. Hey, Bob, what's on your mind today?
Yeah, Tom. You know, just about the Ukrainian thing. Mm-hmm. And us, I'm all for giving them every cent that we can possibly give them. But the only drawback is that we have to win.
I agree.
If we lose, the Democratic Party is something that's done.
Well, if we lose, it's going to be more consequential to the world than just the Democratic Party, because you're going to have war in Europe as Putin moves from Ukraine into Poland, and he's going to start with Moldova. He's already made that clear. I mean, this is a major expansion. He's trying to Catherine the Great. I mean, he's trying to reestablish the empire, essentially. So
you are right, except from a selfish point of view. Just thinking of myself here in America and really afraid of the Republicans taking power is should they lose after giving them all that money, Biden's chances in 2024, I think, go way, way in the tank.
Yeah.
We just have to win. I hope that the better minds than mine know that if we give them enough, that the Russians will finally back off.
Yeah, I think we need to be helping them secure their airspace. I mean, that should have happened a long time ago, in my opinion. But yeah, I'm with you. Bob, thank you very much for the call. Mark in Ocala, Florida. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, Tom. I spoke to you years ago. I'm a fellow Midwesterner, and I watch your show all the time. I don't call as much. But you did mention recently, Tom, about the fact that you had attended a law enforcement academy in Georgia, and I wanted to salute you. And I could just tell we had more in common. I've also attended an academy in South Florida. But I called the show as a former Marine because one of your questions was about, in fact, Ukraine. And not just because I'm a Marine do we support all wars, and I know that you realize that. I actually oppose the war in Iraq. But I do support this current administration stopping the expansion of the Vladimir Putin's attempt into Ukraine. Ukraine being a democratically elected president, even if it was a conservative, and Zelensky may be more conservative than me. But the point is, it's not political for me. It's about what you just said, the expansion. If they roll into Moldova, they roll into Poland, or they roll into Germany, actually. So this is I was a combat engineer, Tom, in the Marine Corps, and I did an operation called Northern Wedding Bold Guard back in the 80s and in the late 80s. And they have bridges that are already pre-drilled and prefabbed and ready to be blown in place if the Russians were to roll through certain corridors. And the engineers, the Americans as well as the Germans, know right where the keys are kept on the bridge, and it's a very serious subject. Americans may not realize that. So I told your call screener, Tom, that Paul Manafort had an association with American Marines. For all the right-wingers that are trying to sneak into your show right now, they're afraid to stand up to the Russians. You're actually listening to a Marine Corps veteran who's willing to still serve his country. I'm not afraid of Vladimir Putin or authoritarianism, but Paul Manafort, who was involved with the rocking of buses of American, a small group of American Marines and sailors were a landing party, a group that goes in before the main element. Mm-hmm. They'd gotten to a small town in Crimea in 2006. There's only about 150 Americans in a couple buses, and they were met with large crowds of very hostile people, and they were hit with rocks. The buses were, some of the Marines were injured, and so the Marines basically didn't confront. They weren't armed, with ammunition. They're probably in civilian clothes capacity, with their weapons somewhere in tow, ultimately.
Right.
But nonetheless, they withdrew from the circumstances. They got out with their lives, in other words. And they escaped in the middle of the night. But Paul Manafort was working with Viktor Yanukovych at that time. And what I've just read here in the last few minutes, knowing this story, of course, he was on the payroll for about $20 million over the expanse of his association with Yanukovych.
Yep.
And I didn't catch the one caller that called the show earlier, Tom, trying to defend Yanukovych, who is a puppet for Vladimir Putin,
Oh, yeah.
A very rich puppet.
Yeah.
So, I guess there are many, I think there's many Americans and maybe even and some conservatives that would still stand up for the United States. And we didn't create NATO in 1985. NATO was something we inherited from defeating the Nazi fascists of 1945.
Mm.
So we inherited the world, and I'm not afraid to still step up. So
Good on you, Mark. Good on you. Thank you. I recall Dwight Eisenhower saying words to the effect of any person who's ever been in combat is never pro-war, but if a war is what's necessary to defend freedom or defend your homeland, your country, you do what you have to do.
And
I'm assuming
thank you,
that's
Tom.
That's your perspective. Mark, thank you so much.
Yes.
Great to hear from you. Alfredo in Mountain View, California. Hey, Alfredo, what's on your mind today?
Hey, hi, Tom. How are you?
Good.
I personally think that Putin's days are numbered. But I wanted to ask you about this Dominion lawsuit against Fox News.
Mm-hmm.
And this defamation lawsuit ending up in the Supreme Court, do you think? And possibly these guys just throwing the lawsuit away, and I take my answer off the air.
We'll see. The big, and I'm going to write about this for my op-ed tomorrow for Hartman Report. The big, I believe, the big question, if it does go to the Supreme Court, let's say that, Dominion prevails, because it looks like they've got a fairly strong case. And it does go to the Supreme Court. You have two members of the Supreme Court, Clarence Thomas and Neil Gorsuch, who have already come out and said, in the context of other opinions, in dissents, or in concurring opinions, that and in other public venues, that they believe that New York Times v. Sullivan, or maybe it's the other way around, Sullivan v. New York Times. I think it's Times v. Sullivan. In any case, that's the case from the mid-70s, as I recall, that established that a public figure cannot sue for defamation. That, for example, if you were to publish an article saying that, I eat babies or something, I could not sue you for defamation. Even if we both knew that it wasn't true, I would have to prove that you had actual malice, that you were saying this with the intent of causing me a very specific harm, and it's really hard to prove. And if this goes before the Supreme Court, I think the biggest concern that I have is that Times versus Sullivan might get overturned, and that would completely change the landscape of American politics. In Australia, they don't have like the Times v. Sullivan. And there's this little progressive publication called Crikey, C-R-I-K-E-Y, that wrote an op-ed. I'll tell you about it in just a second.
You're listening to Tom Hartman. Visit TomHartman.com for audio and video archives.
They had an op-ed that was arguing that the Murdoch family were unindicted co-conspirators. And they got sued for defamation and lost $1 million.
By now, you know exactly what a medical alert device is. So let's talk about what we offer. What are the best prices for medical alert devices in the country? If you're on a fixed income, call our special medical alert hotline right now. You'll qualify for free equipment and our best price starting at $1 a day. That's it. You could have your loved one or yourself protected by the largest medical emergency response network in the country. If you need a medical alert system for your mom, your dad, you, or another loved one, call right now and start 24/7 protection for about $1 a day with no setup fees, equipment charges, or long-term contracts. You've seen the rest. Now call Stay Safe now for our best price. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. 800-307-0603. That's 800-307-0603.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Ann Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
Happy anniversary, honey.
Oh, you shouldn't have. Wait, is that a goat?
Goats are a great gift, but maybe not for her. Go to goatsfortheoldgoat.com to give a goat and end hunger in South Sudan. So, do you like it? Goatsfortheoldgoat.com.
In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org.
What can the wisdom of the 19th century provide for you? Turn back the clock with White House correspondent Ellen Ratner and renowned spiritualist Ann Gaiman to find out. In the new book, Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, they shed light on history's greatest spiritual minds. Take a journey into history and healing with the masters of the 19th century as your guide. Self-Empowerment, 9 Things the 19th Century Can Teach Us About Living in the 21st, available through Changing Lives Press at selfempowermentbook.com.
One goat can make the difference between nourishment and hunger. One goat can make the difference between poverty and sustained income. In the war-torn areas of Southern Sudan, one goat can make the difference between life and death. Find out how you can help. Visit goatsfortheoldgoat.org. That's goats, F-O-R, theoldgoat.org. Fighting hunger, one goat at a time.
Attention floor buyers. The 6th annual fall flooring yard sale's going on now at Lumber Liquidators. Get high quality flooring at low yard sale prices, like Woodlook waterproof floors from just 39 cents. All Dream Home X2O water resistant laminate is on sale. Prefinished hardwood is starting at $149. Get more deals in store while supplies last. Plus special project financing and professional installation with Install Plus. Hurry, visit LumberLiquidators.com to find the Lumber Liquidators store near you today.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. Choosing the right mortgage lender involves much more than just a rate. Quicken Loans has earned 11 J.D. Power Awards for client satisfaction. And we invented Rocket Mortgage, a simpler, hassle-free way to get a mortgage completely online. No one else has anything like it. So choose Quicken Loans, America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Equal housing lender, NMLS number 3030.
Help support Progressive Radio. If you're listening to us on a commercial station, call their advertisers and let them know you're listening. If you're listening to us on Pacifica, one of our many nonprofit stations, please support them when they do their fundraising drives. Thanks for supporting Progressive Talk Radio and tag your it. And welcome back. 53 minutes past the hour. Ed in Erie, Michigan. Hey, Ed, what's on your mind today?
Hey, Tom, I always take you back, but today it's appropriate. Jimmy Carter was my first presidential vote, you know.
Just a bit too young
in 72.
Mm-hmm.
And sorry, you had a little bit of a freezer. But as we talk about it, us old union guys now get stoned, it's legal in Michigan, and talk about them. I wanted your opinion. some say, you know, as we talk about them, they, Ford wasn't a bad, Ford was a good Republican, okay? I think he passed that TRA, you remember that? It was called a Trade Readjustment Act.
Right.
That auto workers got when we got laid off. Do you remember that?
I do.
It was a stuff. Yeah, okay. Yeah, I think it was Ford. You know, maybe.
Yeah, Jerry Ford was a moderate Republican. He was kind of a Dwight Eisenhower Republican.
Yeah, but anyway.
Drank
but
the
anyway,
Kool-Aid.
But, yeah. But,
he also signed some really good legislation restricting money in politics.
Yeah, but as we talk about, just looking back, and it was just been thrown out there. As far as Reagan is concerned, maybe we would have been better off if Ford got elected, because he could have ran again in 80, and which probably would have eliminated Ronald Reagan. Well, what's your opinion of that?
I'm just not sure. I Jerry Ford, you know, the problem that both Ford and Carter had went back to the Arab oil embargo. The price of oil had just exploded, and so you had inflation, and then Jimmy Carter brought in Arthur Burns to run the Fed, and Burns took the top, pushed the top interest rates up into the high teens, and that was kind of the end.
I was a young man, yeah.
Yeah, that was kind of the end of the
young
Carter presidency.
Man starting out at the factory, yeah, and didn't know if I was going to get laid off. I started in January 73, and that Arab oil embargo started less than a year later.
Ed, I got to run. I want to get another caller in here before the end of the hour, but thank you. Thank you, spot on. Mark in Toledo. Hey, Mark, what's up?
Hey, yeah, I just wanted to support Ukraine. I think part of the problem is too many Americans just think about America and not more globally. You know, like, we're not the only ones supporting Ukraine. You know, European Union is supporting Ukraine. And a lot of them took a bigger risk because they're getting a lot of their, like, Germany and Britain, because they're getting a lot of their energy supplies from Russia.
It's true.
So they took a big risk in defending Ukraine. And plus, a lot of European Union countries are taking in Ukrainian refugees.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, you know, it's not just us. It's a big part of the world supporting Ukraine.
I still think
a lot of, especially right wing, really realizes that.
And I don't get why, when the Republican Party has been embracing Putin since the beginning of the Trump candidacy, basically, because Trump, you know, was so tied into Putin. I'm convinced without Putin, Donald Trump never would have been president. I don't get why lefties, you know, I get anti-war, you know, I was anti-war during the Vietnam War. I mean, you can be against wars, but I just don't get why they would be pro-Putin. It just continues to baffle me and sadden me. Mark, I got to run. Thank you so much for the call today. Thank you for being with us today. We'll be back tomorrow, same time, same place. In the meantime, don't forget, democracy is not a spectator sport. It requires all of us, includes you. So get out there, get active. Check out wisdems.org, by the way, the Wisconsin Democratic Party. Big, big election tomorrow, a bigger election in April. So get that on your radar screen. So get out there, get active, tag, you're it. We'll see you tomorrow. Have a great afternoon. Be good to yourself and the people around.
You've been listening to Tom Hartman. For audio and video archives, visit tomhartman.com.
Bills piling up? Temporary prescriptions not cutting it? When your pet has an unscratchable itch, dull coat, or fur loss, you do everything you can to help. But the truth is, these issues start with their food. Sometimes pets just need a little something to balance out their bowl. Dynovite nutritional supplements add essential nutrients to mealtime to support a healthy digestive tract, skin and coat, and immune system. Because when your pet is their healthiest self, they're also their happiest self.
We were at a loss until we tried Dynavite. After just a few weeks, Maggie stopped all the itching and shedding. She had a healthy, shiny coat. Just a huge relief for all of us, but especially Maggie.
Get a free probiotics booster with your purchase of Dynavite for dogs by using code DOG at
Chris Domine is a husband and a father. Chris is an athlete. Chris is even an Iron Man. But 10 years ago, Chris was facing a very different story because his kidneys were failing.
Basically, the doctor said, if you don't get a kidney transplant and if you don't do dialysis, you are going to die.
Fortunately, Chris received a second chance at life. made possible by an organ donor.
You know, your well-being changes from loss of hope to better times ahead.
More than 100 million people in America are registered organ, eye, and tissue donors. People of every age and ethnicity, because they believe it's the right thing to do. Imagine what you can make possible by leaving behind the gift of life. Learn more and sign up as an organ, eye, and tissue donor. Go to organdonor.gov. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Health Resources and Services Administration.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.